This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Kelly and Company, Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, we're the hosts of the show wherever you are. Remember, you can take us with you. Tune in radio, OO Tunes, Radio Player Canada. Some of you out there have those Victor Reader streams. Awesome pieces of gear in which you can listen to our podcast. You can listen to the stream of the show. And those apps that I mentioned, amazing. Just do a search for us after you download them onto your smart device and look for us. I have to always remember, Ramya, to mention the smart speakers because that's a way a lot of people take us into. And yeah. Wherever you are listening in around the world, thanks a lot for being with us. You love that Mythbusters when Danielle brings that on.
Oh, man, I just can't wait because I know she's going to bring in some context of something that she's either faced personally or something that she experiences pretty regularly as a vet. So this one particularly was really fun.
So are you a water drinker?
Yes.
Do you think there's going to be some myths exposed in our upcoming segment about water that we're going to get into?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, there's some confusing things. So Julia Cranches, we're going to bring her on now, and she's going to help us out with this.
I love the world of nutrition. Join me, Julia Cranches, as we talk about everything from food and nutrition to living a vibrant lifestyle.
On our nutrition segment today, we're talking about water and the different types that are out there. Julia, welcome back.
Thanks, guys.
So, my father said to me at a young age, you know what, Cal, the best drink in the world is? Dr. Pepper? Nope. cream soda? Nope. Oh. All right, hot chocolate. No, for sure not hot chocolate.
That's it. All three of those were good.
Unless it's got a marshmallow in it, Kel. He says, come on in here. Have this. Yeah, but that's water, man. No, don't jump back. Come up here. Have some water. He said to me, trust me and start drinking water. And he said, give me a week of taking a couple of glasses a day. I said, a what? I said, well, that's a long time. Try it. Julia, I never look back. So I'm going to put this in your hands and see where we go with this today.
Yeah. I mean, water is the power source of the body. You know, a lamp, a refrigerator, an oven are all no good unless you've got somewhere to plug them in. And water is that source and allows for, you know, everything in the body to fire the way that it's supposed to be firing. But there's so much to dive into with water. And we're really just going to touch the tip of the iceberg because we've only got a couple of minutes here. But you know, when you start to think about it, it can get slightly confusing and overwhelming. Like when you go to a nobody's doing that now, but, you know, generally speaking, when you go to a restaurant and you ask for water, sometimes they go sparkling or flat. I just bought a humidifier and the instructions specifically say to use distilled water. Mm. And then, of course, I didn't, right? Because I got lazy. I'm like, oh, I got to go buy it, blah, blah, blah. And I used my tap water. And then all this calcification happens because there are minerals in our water, which we'll talk about, too. And then, you know, way back in the day when I was in nutrition school, buying bottled water was more normal then. Because we were less concerned with environment and more concerned with having clean drinking water, which we thought came from a water bottle. So when I was in nutrition school, all the students were talking about reverse osmosis water versus spring water, because, you know, that's what we talked about in our after-school studies then. And those were the sorts of things that you found on the label, you know, reverse osmosis, spring, and then that's when the whole concept of water really changed, because now we had this idea of processed water, right? Like it wasn't just is what it was, like, you know, water, this natural substance. But now you're like, okay, well, is it sparkling? Is it spring? Is it reverse osmosis? Is it distilled? And what does that all mean? Like it can get slightly confusing.
Yeah. Throw in some vitamin water and away you go, right? There's just so much that tosses you right off. So is there a simple answer as to which one is best?
No, there isn't. But before we get confusing and before any of the listeners get overwhelmed, I want to read a quote that I found on an article from organicauthority.com spoken by Dr. Stillman the article was about different types of water and, you know, which to drink and when to drink and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And I found this this quote to really calm, I think, any feelings of overwhelmingness that people might have after this talk. And he says, there are pros and cons to each kind of water, and it's important to weigh them all. How does the water taste? Remember, you'll be drinking upwards of 8 glasses daily. Are the contaminants removed? What's the cost? Does it leach minerals from your body? And then come to the conclusion that works for you and your household. And I really liked that quote because, you know, you don't want to get too caught up because the bottom line, Kelly, is you got to drink the water, right?
Mm-hmm. That's yeah, the bottom exactly. line. And you answered part of that too with the 8 glasses, right? At minimal, but we'll, I'm sure, cover that a bit more.
Yeah. Because we got questions for that too. So let's go over it again. I mean, you mentioned casually some of the types of water. How many types of water are there to consider actually? Because I feel like we have so much available to us right here. And what makes them different from one another?
So the way in which the water has been filtered, or in some cases not filtered, is really the differentiating factor between the types of water, except when we're talking about sparkling water, because that's just when a little bit of carbonation has been added and it has that fizzy taste. Mm-hmm. So there's distilled water, which is typically not a water that you drink. And this is when water is boiled and the steam from that is collected and turned back into water. Now, this process removes all contaminants, but also all the minerals, because mm-hmm. minerals are naturally found in water, as I can see from my humidifier that now has a bunch of white calcium all over it, which is why I wasn't supposed to use it. But you can wash that off. Anyways, so it just removes everything, but it usually leaves the water tasting flat. So it doesn't make for the nicest of drinking. And then there's reverse osmosis water. And this water is filtered using osmosis to remove contaminants. This also removes all the minerals. This process is different, though, from distillation, because distillation, we're distilling the water, we're boiling it, whereas reverse osmosis is using energy to push water through a semi-permeable membrane, which is how it removes its contaminants. Sometimes they will remineralize the water, so they just add some of those trace minerals back into the water before it's boiled. Sometimes they don't. Again, it's usually information that is, you know, like you can find it through the company or on the label or whatnot, but it does remove everything. And then there's spring water, which is such a loaded term, because mm-hmm. spring water is sometimes not even filtered water, and it doesn't usually come from that fresh cold water spring that we might be imagining in our heads that the companies would have you believe that it comes from. It's, you know, like it's sort of the term that we use is greenwashing. It's like the greenwashing of the water industry. Like it yeah. doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad, but it doesn't really mean anything. Yeah. It's just, right. you know, so there's that. And that's usually, you know, you're not getting spring water from your tap, but water, you know, in our pipes is typically all filtered irregardless. So there's, you know, like it gets, you got distilled, you got reverse osmosis, and now you've got your spring water, which is, might not even be filtered, because there are contaminants in our water. Like chlorine is a big contaminant in our water. And chlorine is not very good for your gut health. So there is a bonus to filtering things out. I just want to throw that in there for people. Okay. It is good to drink.
And that's the thing.
Water.
And we hear so much, even with our tap water, the how much, you know, of what's in there. Was it fluoride? Is that what I'm thinking? Yeah. And,
yep,
and
yep,
some of the things that we have to be wary, because now we're learning more about that. And especially if you're trying to do the whole being good with your water. Do you want to go back to how much water we should drink?
Sure. Yeah. We can talk about that for sure. Generally, all the information out there is talking about, you know, your 8 cups of water, which is 2 liters. But there are a couple of factors to consider when you're thinking about your daily water consumption. You know, first of all, how are you feeling? If you're a tired or a sluggish person, I think the first thing you'd want to do is start to increase your water intake. But more specifically, everyone has a different activity level and we're all different sizes. And if you want to get really specific about water requirements, you want to drink 0.5 of an ounce to 1 ounce for every pound that you weigh. So if you're a 130-pound person, you're drinking the max level would be 130 ounces, which is closer to 4 liters. It's 3.8 liters, which is a lot. that's way more than the 2 liters. So two Whoa. Liters is sort of, yeah. But this is all, again, are there factors at play here? Like, are you a coffee drinker? Are you really active?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a more active person, or the days that you are active, right? Like in the summer, you go for a walk, you're going to sweat more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Versus mm-hmm. you go for a walk in the winter, like, well, sometimes you sweat, but you know what I'm saying? It's cold. So you're perspiring much less. So you're not losing water. Therefore, you're not needing to replenish as much. Also, I think, most people are eating more fresh fruits and vegetables in the summertime just because of seasonal eating. It's just more accessible, and people don't typically feel like eating a pile of raw cold salads in the winter, but we do in the summer. And right. we've talked about this before in the segment, all those watery vegetables are water intake, you know, so exactly. those are contributing to your water intake too. Don't forget, like, you don't need to right. chug 4 liters of water right now.
Well,
like,
nobody
do that, please.
All right. Because now you'll be told that too, that, hey man, there is such a thing as too much water, especially if maybe you're yeah. not as active and you're sitting around.
Right.
Where does that water go?
Yeah. Well, you're just flushing yeah. everything yeah. out.
You hope that it goes out instead of any retaining.
Right. Right. But I mean, and if you're drinking your 2 liters a day and you're a little constipated and you're a little sluggish, this is maybe a sign that you might require a little bit more, and be mindful of that, and then increase, you know that you can go ahead and increase.
Okay.
Yeah. That's important parts, just like knowing or keeping track of what the signs are, if you're getting enough water or not enough water,
right.
And your activity levels and stuff, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks as well. Right. But I wanted to yeah. go back to filtering water ourselves, Julia, because honestly, I've been a drink out of the tap type of person pretty much my whole life, unless I'm going to a different country or a place where they've specifically
right.
said, please don't drink
right.
out the taps, don't. Find
yes.
your own water. And then
yes.
when I look at the price range, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what people charge for bottled water now. But anyway, going back to the filtering, if people are familiar with things like Brita, how useful is that, or necessary even, to filter our water ourselves that are coming out of the tap?
Yeah, Britas are great. They will help to remove some of the chlorine, okay? So a Brita uses a carbon filter or a charcoal filter. Those terms are synonymous. And this filter is good for removing chlorine and some other organic compounds from the water, but it won't filter it as finely as reverse osmosis does. But it does filter, right? We know reverse osmosis removes everything, whereas the carbon filter will just help to reduce the levels. But it is a benefit. And a Brita can be bought just off the shelf, whereas you're not going to be, like, you're not distilling water in your kitchen at home. And to put a reverse osmosis system, reverse, like, a filtration system in your home is a big financial undertaking. And, you know, unless you really own your home and you're going to live there forever, most people are not doing it. Mm-hmm. So it is, like, a Brita is a much more convenient way to filter your water just to clean it up a bit. But, like, let's not get crazy. Like, our tap water is good. Like, it yeah. is filtered. I mean, it's not like you're drinking, you know, straight from Lake Ontario here. Like, that's
right.
not the case.
Well, I was going to say, because when you go out camping and things like that, that's when you really do need to have filters with you.
Yes. Yes.
Literally
yes.
drinking out of lakes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's when you have to be way more mindful, because there's microbes in the water and things can get, you know, not healthy there. But but a Brita will definitely contribute to the, I'll say, the health of the water. And those filters are easily accessible. So I think, generally speaking, it does cut down on plastic water bottles that you might be purchasing. And it will clean up your water in an economical and convenient way, which I think are factors to consider.
Well, and that's the thing, and being that fan of water, and being very lucky, Julia, that I have been, I think that it's so, so important when people get on site, and it's hard. I you know, recently
yeah.
had a friend who found out he's a diabetic, and he's very much not a water drinker, and now suddenly, you know, has to really stick that into his life and work
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
Julia, thank
yeah.
you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. And when we get into that, we're going to be getting into when you're dehydrated. So another, as we continue the water chat and more.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
Julia Karantzis, our nutritionist. She's with us again in a couple of weeks here on the program. Coming up, half of Canadians say the coronavirus has had a negative impact on their mental health, and it continues. And more than 4 than 10 think that will last after the pandemic. We'll have a conversation about it when we speak with the Chief Mental Health Officer of KPND here in Canada. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.